It's the truth, guys. Broken bodies. It rained all weekend, but we didn't let that stop us. And it felt like God just rained down on us. I had conversations. I was thinking about it on the way back here. I had conversations this weekend that at 15 years old, when God touched me, and when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I started having dreams, just dreams in my heart of what it could be like to live as a Christian. Like, what could it be like? I just experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was starting to see how God was changing some of my friends. I started dreaming, like, what could it be? What if? And I thought of things that could happen and conversations I could have and things. And I realized, I'm living in all of that. I realized I had conversations this weekend with people that I'm like, that's what I dreamt of having. What do I dream of now? And I felt, and I had this conversation with many people, they felt like God's fulfilling dreams, that they need to come up with new dreams. And God touched hearts this weekend. We had a lot of fun. And I think it's really good for us to enjoy serving God together. And so we really enjoyed serving God together and really enjoyed dancing together and really enjoyed an intense slide. But it was a really good time. And I want to encourage you, one of the reasons, if not the reason we do something like this, is just because we believe that God's called us to serve Him together. And so sometimes we break up into life groups on a Tuesday. It's not happening this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, if you're not in a life group, I want to encourage you, get into a life group, a home group, because we do life together. And the gospel comes alive. It makes more sense. It adds color when you walk it. You walk this road together with a bunch of people. And so a smaller group of us decided to go on a camp together and for a whole weekend to seek God out. And God just changed lives. And This happens in life groups, and it happens at youth, and it happens here on Sundays. But I want to encourage you, if you're in no kind of community in 3CI, if you feel like you've been part of 3CI for a while, and you just don't feel like you're part of the body, when you talk about family, you think it's just an idea, then go join a life group. Seriously, go join a life group. Find a group of people to do life together. Come on. We're at a good camp. Somebody.
Yeah, it was a pretty epic camp. It was a pretty crazy week last week trying to organize everything at the last minute. But like, I really just, the testimony is of, I don't know, like finding that passion to serve God again is just amazing, where you can just have joy in doing the most craziest things together. Like, we got to build the most epicest slide we've ever seen. And we thought it was a good idea until everyone was like the next day, like, ugh, we're not all 16 anymore and just bounce. And so, yeah, like, and it's not a hype. It's not like a phase and it's not like a thing, but it's the Holy Spirit. When you understand that He's with you and He's in you and He empowers you, you can just serve God with the most greatest joy. I'm not trying to be, I don't know. And it's also and you find your gifting and you're like, that's my gifting, and you can run hard with that. I'm not called to run with kids. I'm sorry, I just can't do kids. But I can maybe like put a couple of nails into some wood and build a slide. And just doing those simple things, trying to find what like God's given me to do, and just doing that with the best of my ability is an absolute joy and a pleasure.
I think the one thing about satellite is, I think for the last year we were getting a little bit old. Like, we're only like third and fourth years, and everyone graduated, and it was kind of like, you know, like lame. And we prayed for young people, and we said we want young people to come back to satellite. Like, we need to make this so epic and so fun that a 19-year-old guy is like, I want to be part of Christianity, because there's this massive ramp and like another little mini one. We broke our bodies. I got mud and grass on me. I mean, if Jesus isn't doing work, then I don't know what. Like, I totally got dirty. And it was so, so much fun. And God answered our prayer. And there were so many young people there that we got to involve into satellite, and they're going to come back. And I think laughter and fun is just the universal language on getting people to bond and become family, and we did that this weekend.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm good, thanks, and you, Rory? I'm so glad. Thank you. So, anyway. My first satellite camp was when I first joined this church and moved to Pretoria, and that was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I didn't know anyone, and I had actually a really bad camp because I just had a bad attitude, and I was craving something familiar, and nothing was familiar for me. And then the last day of that camp, Jeff was speaking, and God came on me, and he's told me that the path that he's taking my life on and the path he's taking 3CR is he's joining them together, and we're going the same direction. So and he was joining me to the church, and then I knew I had to stay 3CR, even if I had a really difficult transition time and blending in and stuff. It was my own fault. And yeah, this church is awesome. And this camp, oh, you guys, the last session, Jeff was speaking, and I was in awe. I was just realizing everything that he was saying at that moment about grace and about adventure, about living a life with God, and how much God has for us, and the Garden of Eden, so many yeses. And I wish you guys could hear the message that was preached, because it was epic. And God wants to pour his fire out on our lives. God wants us to just bring our lives as a sacrifice, and he will consume it. He will burn it up. And I was just hit by, if I had just listened to my emotions that first time and been like, I don't like these people, I'm going home, I don't want to be a part of a church, I would have missed out on so much, because the past 2 years of satellite meetings have invested in my life. Every satellite meeting actually blows my mind, and camp blew my mind. God is always expanding. He's always doing something new. He's always taking us forward. So I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jeff and Jane. You guys are rock.
Hi, I'm Star. I hope you all saw me run up, literally. I just want to quickly say that I was not expecting to receive anything in this camp. In fact, I didn't even think I was going to go. Because I spoke to Jane, and she's like, "Are you going to camp?" I'm like, "No." And then she's like, "Why?" And I told her why. And she's like, "No, you're coming." I'm like, "Okay." And then on Monday, I receive an email from people at school, and they say, "You've got classes on Friday afternoon and Saturday morning." And so I was just like, "Jane, I don't think I'm coming to camp." And then she says, "No, you're coming. You're going to come in the afternoon." I'm like, "Okay." And then I'm just like, "Okay, then clearly I need to be at this camp." But then, things happened the way that they did, and I ended up leaving so late at 7 p.m. And so by that time, I was just like, "Okay, I'm just going to go now," because Jane went through a lot to get me to go. And so I was the least expectant to receive anything from this camp, but it was so amazing. I got to meet a lot of people, and crazy story happened. Timothy, my witness. I was literally limping this, because in the night something happened, but my ankle just started swelling up. It was so painful. And while Jeff was preaching, I was hearing half of it, writing a lot of it down to read it later, because then I was in pain and I didn't know what was happening. And then afterwards, I speak to the girls that I was sleeping with, and they're like, "No, elevate." And so I was like, "Okay, I can't." I said, "I can't elevate because I need to go get myself a ride back home." So I'm hopping around in the rain trying to get a ride back home. And Tim is like, "Would you like me to pray for him?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it." And then he prays, and I kid you not, down my leg went, and I was walking. And it was so cool. I received healing on the spot. And I started crying, because it's never happened. And I was so in awe of God. And I was just like, "Yeah." And I was really excited.
Hold on, Star. Jeez, Jeff, you're quite a preacher. I mean, everybody said when Jeff was preaching, it's amazing. You want to preach, bro? Jeez. How many of you can sing? Put your hands up. You can sing. Now, honestly, you've got good voices. How many of you got good voices? Okay, how many of you got bad voices? How many of you got bad voices you don't mind singing publicly? There we go, My voice is good, Jeff. Jesus has saved me. What's your voice like, Jeff? Okay, Jeff and Jane, that's good. You can both come up here. No, Jeff, the Spirit's on you. I mean, I could just... The way you hear God is just when the name gets repeated. I mean, you and Tim are obviously the heroes of tonight. No. Has Tim got a good voice? Where are you, Tim? What's your voice like? What's Jeff's voice like? Bad. But Jeff and Jane, please come here. Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to sing Amazing Grace. No, you are. You are. And then Jane's going to sing Amazing Grace after you. No, not going to sing it together. You're going to sing it completely separately. No, you are one, but I'm separating you tonight. Yeah, because you've been bossy all week at the satellite camp. Okay, do you want to sit down, Jenny? No, not you. No, you. No. Amazing. No. Stay, Janie. JD, you come and sing. Janie's going to sit down. I mean, Jay. Yeah, you can sit down. So then Leslie caused marital strife. Amazing grace. Like proper. You know the words. No, the whole verse. Like amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, but blind, but now I see. Okay, the whole thing. Okay.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace, how saved a wretch like me. How does it go? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Yes.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Okay, well done. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and we're going to learn about good singing and bad singing. Just remember Jeff and Jay. Okay, we're doing a series called You Too, and turn to the person next to him and say, You Too. So we're going to take the gospel to the nations, You Too. You Too, you included as well. Otherwise, your typical Pretoria thing is you come to church and somebody gets up and plays music and somebody preaches and then you go home. We don't want that. We want every single person involved. We believe everybody's on a mission. The mission is Jesus and we're all included in it. Yep. Otherwise, it's just 7 or 8 guys who are full-time and everybody kind of fills the seats. We're not here to fill seats. We're here to train you to take the kingdom of God to the nations of the world. That's our job. Okay? And so let's have a look at Acts chapter 1. It says, in my former book, Theophilus. So for those of you who don't know anything about the Bible, there are 2 books that are written by Luke, the book of Luke, and he introduces it, he says, to the most excellent Theophilus, and the second book he writes is the book of Acts. So Theophilus seems like quite a high-ranking man, he seems like an intelligent man, and Luke is trying to explain the gospel to him. He's trying to teach him about Jesus. So he writes the book of Luke. He says he'll give an account of what Jesus did and what he taught and how he treated people and what he was like with children and how he treated women and some of the words that he spoke. I've done a study over the last couple of weeks on just Jesus interacting with people. And it's very profound. It's very non-religious and it's very profound. And sometimes in the church we can be very religious. We can put people off. And just remember this, Jesus is not on a trip of admonition. He's not trying to discipline people. He's trying to get people saved. He's trying to engage people. He's trying to bring the life of God to people. And so he says simple things like, what's your name? Not like, hey, you need to be delivered from demons. That's the guy who's in, I mean, he's like fully demonized. The Bible says he's got no clothes on. He's living out of town. He's living in the cemetery. And Jesus says, what's your name? Not what's wrong with you. Why have you got no clothes on? You need Jesus. He just says, what's your name? It's like really amazing. And so we want to, through this series, we want to just look at how God uses ordinary people, fills them with the Spirit of God to touch other people. And so you and I, friends, are redemption centers. Excuse me if you've heard me say this, but Moses wrote one psalm, and it's Psalm chapter 90, and he had lived in all sorts of places. He had lived in a basket, he had lived in a palace, and yet when he writes his psalm, he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. That word, Lord, is the redemptive name of God. It's the God that saves. And so we make as our home the redemption of God. So whether you're a cyclist, whether you're a canoeist, whether you're a student or a businessman or a housewife, or whether you're on the committee of a school, or whether you're whatever it might be, you and I take the redemption of Christ into that context. And you know what, friends? It might happen twice a year that you bring someone to Christ. It doesn't matter. We just have to make sure that God can use us in Pretoria. Otherwise, friends, it's you bring people to church and hope the church does the trick. That's not how the book of Acts works. The book of Acts works with everybody participating in this unbelievable mission of God. And so it says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Say the kingdom of God. Big subject for some people. I know some of you have got a handle on it. But the kingdom of God is very simply the rule of God. So if you take the United Kingdom was everywhere where the queen or the king used to have authority. There's no kingdom, there's no authority anymore. But the kingdom of God is simply where Jesus has authority. And so when we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, we're praying for the authority of God to come into somebody's life. And so something like, stop gossiping, the kingdom of God comes. Forgiving people, the kingdom of God comes. Honoring people, the kingdom of God comes. Getting your finances into biblical order, the kingdom of God comes. So the kingdom of God is just God's government coming into your circumstance. It's as simple as that. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my father has promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to him, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Say Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Judea. Judea. Samaria. Samaria. Ends of the earth. Keep your finger there. Turn to John chapter 2, please. John chapter 2 and verse 23. Now while he was in Jerusalem, you see that? Underline it. Jerusalem. Underline. Verse 22, after this, chapter 3, verse 22, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside. You see that? Jerusalem, Judea. Chapter 4, the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. Say Samaria. Verse 42, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, outermost parts of the world, is not a principle that Jesus leaves us. It's an example that he leaves us. And so the church is not built on principles. The church is built on relationships. And people are more important than principle. The way we want to build church is people are more important. I'll answer the question just now. I'll answer that in a moment. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way they have seen him go into heaven. When they returned to Jerusalem from a hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot. and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I want to share three things. Friends, you'll remember it. It's very, very simple. It's simply this. Jesus and the kingdom, number one. Secondly, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world, number two. And number three, I want to share a word called homothumadon. Say that with me. Homothumadon. Say it with me. No, you sound homothumadon. Say homothumadon. That's a musical term. It's expressive. Say homothumadon. That appears in Acts chapter 4, 1 verse 14. They were all together. That word is homothumadon. It appears 10 times in the book of Acts. It's a word that we have to learn. Homothumadon. I want to build a church here in Pretoria that's got homothumadon. It means to rush along together in unison, and it's a musical term. It means you and I are going to sing a song together. We're going to rush along. There's going to be action. There's going to be adventure. It's going to be a noise, and it's going to be in unison. And when the song comes out of this church, it's going to bless the city. And so, friends, this is how it operates. Jesus preaches about the kingdom for 40 days. So this side of the book of Acts starts with Jesus and the kingdom. And the very last verse of the book of Acts, chapter 28 in the book of Acts, it says, Paul taught for 2 years boldly and without hindrance about Jesus and the kingdom. So the book of Acts starts with Jesus and the kingdom, and the book of Acts ends with Jesus and the kingdom. The church is not built on personalities. It's not built on brands. It's not built on people or gifts. The church is built on Jesus and the kingdom. God uses gifts, but it's built on Jesus and the kingdom. The message of the church is Jesus and the kingdom. And you can't give that to somebody else. You can't allocate that responsibility to a bunch of preachers. That responsibility is every group of people found in the brackets of Jesus and the kingdom. And friends, just for women's sake, so that you understand this, every type of person that you can imagine is mentioned in the book of Acts. And so if you just take women, Acts chapter 1 verse 14, mothers are there. Mums are important. And when I say to people, people say the mum's room is not tidy and the kids are misbehaving and the headphones don't work, you're not here for yourself. You're here for Jesus and the kingdom. We are not here to get our itchy ears tickled. We're here for Jesus and the kingdom. And sometimes you bring your kid here and you sit in that mother's room and you're there for somebody else who might be visiting who's got no idea about mothering, no idea about breastfeeding, no idea how about to get her children into sleeping patterns. And you're sitting there, you never hear the message, but Jesus and the kingdom can come in the mother's room just because you're here. Otherwise, friends, your young days of motherhood is like you're a zombie all the time. You're exhausted. You don't want to go to church. And then you rob the body of the extension of Jesus and the kingdom. And then we see this amazing little verse in the book of Acts. It says, Philip's four unmarried daughters prophesied. You don't have to be married to count for God. You don't need a man to make you whole. Jesus made you whole. And I want to say to you young ladies and old ladies, and if you're 60 and you're still single, I want to tell you, just let Jesus and the kingdom come through your life. Because the Bible is full of Jesus and the kingdom. God using women. The book of Acts, God uses women over and over again. And by his absolute sovereign grace, he mentions two women, one called Lydia, who's a dealer of purple cloth. She would be equivalent of the MD of Edgar's. Purple cloth is a very fine linen, very fine cloth. So you've got the director of Edgar's, who God uses mightily, gets her saved, her whole household gets saved. She becomes a launching pad for the book of Philippians or the church of Philippians to get birthed. And then you get this little girl called Rhoda, comma, a servant girl. And so you've got mothers and you've got single girls, you've got servant girls and you've got businesswomen, and they all fit into the bracket of Jesus and the kingdom. There is no excuse for whoever is sitting here, whether a student or a housewife or an executive or a business person, it doesn't matter. You are in the book of Acts. And we have to motivate you and we have to train you so that you don't become a spectator but a participant in the advancement of the kingdom of God. Amen, friends? It's got to be. I ask you tomorrow. It takes me 2 hours and 13 minutes and I'm doff. It takes you 2 hours and 30 minutes to read the book of Acts. Read it every week. We're going to do the series for 6 weeks. Read the book of Acts every week and let the phrases grip your heart so that we can have an impact. We can allow the gospel of Christ to impact the city and the kingdom of God to come into people's lives. I got invited to two parties yesterday. One on the plots and one in town. And I had to say no to the one in town. And I was on the plots and I spoke to a man. I said, how are you doing? He said, I left my family today. God. I said, where are you going to stay? He said, I'm staying in. And he gave me the address. And it's the address of the people I was meant to have the other party with. I said, no. 1051, number 1051. He said, yes. I said, is the guy's name Mike? He said, yes. I said, I was meant to have dinner with him tonight. I said, where are you staying? He said, he's got like a little granny flat. And I preached in town this afternoon. I was coming home and Mike was washing his car, pulled in there. I said, Mike? He said, yep, he's arrived. Friends, how does God, a man, leave home and puts him into a B&B of a member of this church? You see, we've got to open our eyes to the kingdom of God and opportunities of redemption. God is not just some random chance God. God is putting people in strategic places. I said, you know he's left his wife. He said, yes, we'll work it through. I don't know if either of those men are here today, but we are here to see marriages saved and relationships healed and the kingdom of God coming. In every group of men is mentioned, there's a soldier that gets saved. And then there's a professor that gets saved. And then there's Ethiopian eunuch who's in charge of the treasury. He's a Trevor Manuel equivalent. He gets saved. And God uses all these different kinds of people. And you think, well, you've got to be certainly qualified. I mean, the one guy really was incredible. Paul studied under Gamaliel. He was a very educated man. God saves him. He has a major impact on the earth. And then there's a little verse in Acts chapter 4. It says, these were unschooled, untrained men who had been with Jesus. So it's got nothing to do with your education or lack of education. It's got to do with your availability to take Jesus and the kingdom to the ends of the earth. Amen? So read it, friends, and let the verses stir your heart. Every time I kind of hit a brick wall and I don't know where to move and I don't know what God's saying and I just take Acts chapter 8, 9, and 10 and I get on my knees and he saves this guy this way and he saves that guy that way and he saves this guy another way. One's direct revelation, another one is this. And I think, God, if you can do this, then surely you can sort my mess out. It's a book of victory. It's a book of unbelievable overcoming. There's a massive opposition, Sanhedrin and sorcery and snake bites and shipwrecks. All the opposition in Acts seem to start with S. And yet at the end of the book, they did exactly what God told them to do, take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's simple, friends. I pray that the book of Acts will come alive to 3CR over these next 6 weeks and that you can turn to the person next and say, you too are included in this great story. Amen? The second thing, friends, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, outermost parts of the world is not a geographical mandate. It is a relational challenge that God gives to us. Samaria is a woman at the well who's very broken. It's not a piece of ground in the east of Pretoria. I remember going once to Australia and we were in a part of a leadership. We were part of an apostolic team. We had a leadership conference. And people were preaching, and I was preached on the Thursday night. The conference started on the Monday. I preached on the Thursday night, and a woman ran up to me afterwards, and she said, I need to speak to you, please. I said, what's your name? I think her name was Jill. I said, Jill, where are you from? She said, I'm from Botswana. I said, what are you doing here? She said, I'm not a leader. I'm not involved in your movement. I don't know what I'm doing here. I woke up one night, and in as clear as day, I felt God say, get to Australia and get to this conference. And she said, my dad was murdered. I'm really cross with God. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what the answers are. And I got up at that conference and I told the story about my wife's dad being murdered and how God healed her. And she ran up to me and she said, I know why God took me from Botswana and brought me to Australia and took you from Durban and brought you to Australia to tell a story about your wife so that I could find healing. You see, friends, if you took a Google Earth picture of that well in John chapter 4, you don't go to the well in that part of the world in the middle of the day because it's too flipping hot. You go to the well in either early in the morning or you go to the well late at night. That's when you go to the well, and going to the well was like going for coffee. It was social. You always went with somebody. You never went alone unless you were a complete outcast. And she was a prostitute. She had been cast out by society. And if you did a Google Earth down, all the disciples had left to buy Kentucky Fried Chicken. And there was just one broken prostitute woman and Jesus, because he orchestrated that. And if God can orchestrate a plan in Australia, And I preached this morning about a young man I met this week called Benjamin from Switzerland. I had the privilege of preaching to about 60 or 70 students from all over the world. And this young guy, Benjamin, was sitting over here, and he kept questioning, I don't understand that. What do you mean by that? Is that right? Is that a proper revelation? And he questioned me the whole way through my talk. I thought, I wonder if I've come just for Benjamin. And then I started to speak about the father heart of God, and I said, tell me about your father, Benjamin. He said, my father is an arrogant man. My father never looked after us. My father abandoned us. And I started to speak about God the Father, and he started to weep. And eventually he just couldn't uncontrollably weep. And eventually he got on his knees and he just cried as the love of God touched his heart. I told that story this morning. His mentor, his tutor came to me. He was here this morning and said, Benjamin came to South Africa for 3 weeks. He felt God sent him here for 3 weeks. I preached there on Tuesday. He left to go home on Thursday. You see, friends, you and I are redemptive centers. And Samaria is not a geographical location. Samaria, in this case, is a very broken woman. But this city is full of people that desperately need Jesus. Yeah. And he's going to use housewives, single girls, businesswomen, military men, professors, people in government, students. He's going to use lawyers and doctors, and he's going to use everybody. And I ask that you would say, Lord God, can you use me too? Amen? And finally, we close with this. That word homothymidon, the best way to... Can you guys stand up? You 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You stand up 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. You can sit down. Thank you. Actually, you know what? No, you can stand. You can sit down. So this is the picture. Jeff is a really good guy. He can preach really well, you've heard. But he sings really badly. This is the word. The Bible says, homothymidon, we're all going to be in unity. One of the greatest gifts is unity. And the Spirit of God is going to blow through us. And as he blows through us, every one of us has got a note. Do, a deer, a female, deer, ray, a, all the, you know, get it. Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, a name, I call myself, far, a long, long way to run. But you get miffed just because I said something about women last week, and so you decide not to come to church, so you can sit down. So you're sitting at home and you're pouting, just like, Make like, I mean, you're too pretty to make an ugly face, but just like, Okay, make like a, and you, you didn't like Jeff, so you also sat down, so. And you came, but you've got a bit of unforgiveness in your heart, a little bit bitter, so you can sit down as well. And so now the Spirit of God starts to blow through the church, homothymidon, and sings this unbelievable note, plonk, beautiful note, beautiful note, beautiful note, plonk, plonk, beautiful note. And that's the sound that the church, the world hears from the church. Single girls, stand up and let the Spirit of God blow through your life. Married women, stand up. Mothers, stand up. Servant girls, stand up. Businessmen, stand up. Lawyers, stand up. Soldiers, stand up. And let the Spirit of God move through you. And then you have to protect your heart, because if bitterness and unforgiveness and gossip come into your heart, when the Spirit of God blows, the note is like Jeff singing, plonk, 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 plonk. And if you can stand again, all the book of Acts is everybody standing. None of these guys. And the Spirit of God blowing. And some are musicians, and some are coffee servers, and some are parking attendants, but everybody's on their post. Everybody's got faith in their hearts. Everybody's expecting just two things, Jesus and the kingdom. You see, friends, in your mind, you think Jesus and the kingdom is going to come through the pulpit. I've seen Jesus and the kingdom come in the car park many times. Mark Tonkinson, a successful businessman, he stepped out of his car at Glenridge, and as he stepped out of his car, God said to him, he heard an audible voice from God, welcome home. Jesus is in the car park. Jesus is in your office park. Jesus is in your trailer park. Jesus is in your university, and he's in your gym. You've just got to open your eyes and keep your heart clean, so that when the Spirit blows, the note that gets struck is clean and pure. Homothymidon. You too is simply every one of us getting ourselves into the book of Acts
so that Jesus and the kingdom can come through our lives. We are not disqualified because of Christ. He qualifies you. He qualifies you. And if you've run and you've hit the wall, then stand up, get dusted off, and get back in the race, because we need to bring Jesus and the kingdom to Pretoria. Amen. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I'm listening to a message like this, and I think, what if